I want you to think about yourself. You're on a flight, and you're with 43 other passengers, and you've just heard that two other planes have crashed into the World Trade Center. What would you do with 43 other people? You've heard that your plane has been hijacked by two men. And you know that your plane is probably going to be, it's going to be brought down. United, I believe it was Flight 93, is the flight that I'm talking about, in which 44 passengers decided to stand up. And instead of this plane going to Washington, D.C., it crashed 20 miles away from the White House. All because of courage. All because 44 people decided, or some of that, decided to stand up. And they accomplished something great. They accomplished, I say great, but they kept many others from dying. I'm also reminded of someone named Esther. You know of Esther, you know of her. In which her courage brought about a people not dying. She knew that if she went to the king uninterrupted, she probably could have been killed. But she said, Esther chapter 4, if I perish, I perish. She was willing to be courageous. We're talking about David today. If you want to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, that's where we'll be at. I encourage you to have your Bibles open because we'll be turning a lot to different places. We'll be referring back to 1 Samuel, looking at some cross-references and things of that nature. But we are surrounded by fear. We're surrounded by fear. Maybe we often inhabit fear. Maybe we fear the past. Maybe we fear something that happened in the past. Maybe we fear something that we're currently in a present future, or present fear. Maybe we fear something in the future. Man, that test Friday, better be ready for it. Fearful. See, we fear many things, but God calls us not to be fearful. God calls us not to be fearful. In Joshua chapter 1, I want you to notice this with me just for about a moment. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 6. If you notice something about this, what God tells Joshua to be strong and of good courage. In the first chapter, he says it four times. I love that. Verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse number 7, strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Verse 18, only be strong and of good courage. I think God wants his people to be courageous. I think God wants his people, those who are commanded to be leaders in the church, or examples, are to be courageous. I'm reminded of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 13, when Paul is closing out his letter to the Corinthians, he says, watch ye, stand fast, quit ye like men, be strong. If you go back to previous chapter, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God commands us to be courageous. Talking about David today, David was a man of courage. But I want to point out something here, as Jack did in the introduction. David was probably likely, and I agree, he was under 20 years old. Probably could have been 14, 15, 16, somewhere like that. Around our age, yes, I'm in that category. But around our age, and yet he did something good. He did the will of God. Young people can do the will of God. I think sometimes we get discouraged. I'm too young. I might not know as much as someone who's been studying the gospel for 20, 30 years. That doesn't mean we can't serve God. We can serve God, and we're commanded to do so. If you look at the life of David, again, where we first opened with him in 1 Samuel chapter 16, in which we know that he is one of eight brothers. He is the son of Jesse, and he was a man, again, as we stated, of courage. Young people can accomplish great things. I'm reminded of those in history. Alexander the Great, 18 years old and conquering nations. What about a man by the name, you probably heard of Mozart? He composed his first symphony at 8 years old. Young people can do great things. There's no excuses that we cannot. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 12, or chapter 12, verse number 1, Ecclesiastes writer says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. We can work for God as young people. And that's what I want to look at today, and being courageous through that. We can stand up. I like this comment. David is the defense attorney for young people's work in the church. Think about that. You know, David stands for us. You know, David did it, so we can too. David faced his Goliaths, so we can too. We have many Goliaths in our life. We're going to see how we can overcome those things. But 1 Samuel 17, let's look at our text. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. 1 Samuel 17, verse number 40. I'm sure you know of this story, at least you know it pretty well, in which David was told by his father, go and send supplies to his brothers. David gets there and sees this giant. Who is this person that's defying the armies of the living God? And he offers. Look at verse 40. This is what he does. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He took a sling, 5 stones. Now, why did he take 5 stones? I have no idea. We don't know. But he did that. We're going to talk about his weapon and what he used. But let's make some application to us and see how we, as David, can be courageous when we face our Goliaths, because we face many things in our lives. Now, we're all going to be different, but we face our own Goliath. So let's notice our first point. We have 3 points. I want this to be pretty simple so you can write it down or whatever. But number one, like David, we're in a battle. Like David, we're in a battle. We face an enemy, 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the word adversary, it's opponent. That's the one you're going against. So our main opponent is the devil. You see, the devil wants us to be discouraged. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12 tells us that our battle is not against physical things. We're not fighting against one another. We're fighting against Satan. Because Satan's our adversary. He wants us to be destroyed. He craves your soul. He craves your soul. He doesn't want it to be in a place of rest. But Satan is against us. We need to know how to defeat that. We again, like David, we face many enemies. We face, number one, the enemy of false accusations. Look at 1 Samuel 17. When David gets to the battlefield, or he gets to where these Israelites are, notice what his brother says. This is his own brother. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Why? And he said, Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down to the battle, might see this battle. You just want to come down here, David, to see the battle. You ever get accused of something you didn't do? Oh, you're just a young person. You can't really do anything. Look at what Saul says, 1 Samuel 17, verse 33. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're just a youth. You're just a young person. See, we face that sometimes. You ever been told that? You can't do this because you're too young? Now, there are certain things we can't do. There are things that more mature mind won't be able to handle and things of that nature. But we can still serve God. There are still things that we can do to serve God. And David faced this. But he also, notice, we face the enemy of discouragement. Again, we're in a battle. We face this enemy of discouragement. I want you to notice what Goliath told David, 1 Samuel 17. Goliath, he says, verse 42, Philistine looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. Notice what he says. And then the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, discouraging. We face discouragement. We may do something good and people still discourage us. Well, we face the enemy of discouragement. How do we overcome that? Well, we're going to be looking at that. But we're in a battle. We face our own Goliath like David, and we need to know how to overcome that. We can overcome those things and be courageous to do that. See, again, God calls us to be courageous. 2 Timothy 1. I want you to notice this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. God didn't make us to be fearful creatures. It means timid or cowardice, but of power, bold, and of love, and of a sound mind, self-control. So as Christians, as young people who want to serve God, we need to be bold, we need to be courageous as God would have us to be. And unlike David, however, David perhaps was fighting alone. Everybody else ran away. Everybody else was scared of the giant, but David stood up. We might be alone, the only one that's might stand for the truth sometimes, but we can always know that God will be with us, and even perhaps our church family, those of that nature. But yes, number one, we're in a battle, but let's notice number two. If we're going to be courageous, if we're going to be like David and overcome our Goliaths in our life, he took his 5 stones and he took his sling, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared because we can do it. One of our instructors at the Memphis School of Preaching is known for saying, you can do it, brother. You can do it. Because you can. It's possible. God's not going to ask you to do something that's impossible. You can do it. But we have to be able to overcome those things. But let's notice number two. We need to be prepared. Like David, David was prepared. He just went into this open. No, he was prepared. I want you to notice, number one, he was confident. Number one, David was confident. I think Eric talked about that in his lesson this morning. Confidence is something key. We need to be confident. I want you to notice what the proverb writer says. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 28, verse number 1. You know, we can be confident because we're of God. We can be confident because we have God on our side. Proverbs 28, verse number 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Why are the righteous bold as a lion? Because they have God. Because they have God with them. So we need to be confident in ourselves. Now, again, mentioning what Eric said this morning, we can be overly confident, so we can be too prideful. And then we can be not enough. We need to be confident in ourselves. Know we can do it. Know we have that ability, but don't be prideful. But we need to be confident. If you go back to 1 Samuel, again, chapter 17, I want you to notice this. If you like to write in your Bible, I circled these three words in this verse because I think it's really interesting. 1 Samuel 17, verse 46. Notice what David says. He's confident. This day, circle this word, will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And I, number two, will smite thee and take thy hand from head from thee. And I will. See those? Will. This is something he knows he's going to do. He's confident. You know, as Christians, as people who want to do the will of God, we want to be confident. David was confident. Think about, we need to be confident in the things that we know it's going to happen. You know, for instance, maybe we're studying with one of our friends at school. Maybe, you know, we have a friend, we invite him over to study, and, you know, we ask him, do you want to study the Bible? And then they say, yeah. And then we say, I don't know how it's going to go. It probably won't work. That's not confident. Already have them baptized in your mind. Already have the goal in mind. As Christians, that's how we need to be. Know the goal. See the goal. And be confident in ourselves. Be confident in God's Word. Again, David was confident. He had his weapon that he's used to. We're going to look at his weapon here in a minute. But David, number one, was confident. Number two, in his preparation, David had knowledge. David knew what he was doing. He fought enemies, and so he knew what he was doing. Look at 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, look at verses 34 through 36. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took out a lamb of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall. The word shall is interesting. That denotes something that's going to happen, like we talked about with confidence. Shall be as one of them. David knew what he was doing. As Christians, we need to know what we're doing. We talked about our enemy. We need to know what Goliath we're facing. Who are we going against? Who are we going against? Well, we're going against Satan, we talked about. He is a liar. John chapter 8 and verse 44 tells us he's the father of lies. He is a deceiver. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, he killed Eve. Now, he didn't physically take her life, but she was dying spiritually. He's murder. John 8, verse 44. But Satan will come against us. Discouragement will come, as we've talked about. We are going to face Goliath. We are going to face those things which we know, I can't do it. I'm a young person. I can't do anything. No, you can. Satan wants you to think that you cannot. But we need to know that we can. How do we know that? Read the Bible. Study. We need to meditate daily. Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 2. When I get up in the morning, study or read. Maybe you just read maybe a chapter in the morning. And then maybe in the night you maybe read a chapter at night. Have it always on your mind. That's what we need to do. We need to have it always in our mind. We need to be taught about what we can do. David knew that he could overcome this giant. It wasn't something, well, we'll see. No, he knew. Therefore, we can know that we can overcome the Goliaths in our lives. What can we do as people that want to serve God? And we can learn about things. What can we do for God? Well, there are many things that we can do. I think I just want to address this just for but a moment. You know, David, again, was willing to fight against this Philistine. No one else would, but he was, I'm ready. I am. I can do it. And so we can do it as well. Even when the whole world is against us, we can do it. But what can we do for God? What are some things that we know that we can do for God? Number one, we can obey the gospel. Number one, we can obey the gospel. If we haven't obeyed the gospel, we can. Now, We need to be careful in what we do. We need to make sure we know everything and things of that nature. Study examples of that. First, we can obey the gospel. Become a Christian. Become a child of God. Number two, we can be an example. We can be an example. If we're going to overcome and be courageous, we need to be willing to serve God. And we can be an example in the church. You know, young people are some of the best examples in the church. I can name so many. I'm thinking of one right now. He's younger than me. Man, he's such an example to me. I won't name his name, but he's such an example to me. Young people can be so encouraging to those of the older generation. But we need to be an example. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, notice what Paul tells Timothy. Timothy, a young person. Now, he's not as young as probably David was, but he's still a young person in Paul's eyes. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, "Let no man despise thy youth. Let no one say, oh yeah, I can. He acts like a youth. No. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." Notice what Paul says. 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 12. "Be thou an example in firstly what? In word." Well, that's in our speech. You know, as young people, if we're going to be workers for God and be able to say, I'm willing to do God's will as David, I'm willing, I'll stand up. Well, let's be an example in word, in speech. Let's make sure our speech is correct. He says in word, in conversation, in action. That's my actions. That's what I do. Am I doing sinful things? That's not showing God. That's not wanting to do God's will. In conversation, that's action. In charity, that's emotion. In charity, that's how I... Do I love one another? Agape love? In spirit, that's our attitude. Do I have a good spirit? Do I want to do the will of God? Am I willing? We'll talk about that here in a minute. Having a willing attitude. Do we have personal faith? And purity, is our morality right? So we need to be an example in all these things because that's what God commands us to do. God wants us to be examples of the church. God wants us to be examples. You can also be an encourager. I love encouraging people. I love encouraging people. I love both, but people who are encouraging. I love those people. And you're having a bad day, maybe Sunday morning. Maybe you're just having a bad day and you get to go to church and man, that encouraging person's up there. And man, they brighten your day. Be an encourager. Uplift someone. You see someone that's discouraged, say, hey, let me talk to you. Let me encourage them. Yeah, we can be an encourager. Young people can be encouraged. You know, you see sometimes the older generation, man, they're so encouraged by when young people do good things for God. Be that way. Be an encourager. Number four, you can worship God. In John 4, verse 24, we're commanded to worship God. Maybe if you're a young male, you get to lead a prayer. Overcome that fear. You know, I remember first time that I gave like a devotion. I think it was at Chipman on Wednesday night. And I was, you know, probably a little, you know, you'd be a little nervous sometimes, right? You overcome that, and now it gets better and better. But we can worship God. We can do His will. We can be an evangelizer. You know, again, we talked about the ones that are willing to overcome that. Man, I don't know, should I talk to my friend about the gospel? It's a little scary. We'll overcome that. Be prepared. Know that you have God. Like David, know, and we're going to talk about the trust here in a minute as well, but know you have God. Be an evangelizer. I like this point. I want you to think about this. When you're studying with someone, you ask your friend if you want to study. You say, hey, would you like to study with me? Sure, sure. You study. You get through the first study. Man, it's good. Second study is good. But that third study, you know that third study, that's going to be on baptism. And you know this is like a make or break idea. So you study. And man, that friend that you're studying with, they say, I want to be baptized. And man, you want to be baptized, so you call the preacher, you come to the baptistry, you get to baptize, maybe he baptizes him, whatever. And as that your friend's coming out of the water, guess what's happening in heaven? Book of life. Another name's added. Guess who got to help with that? You. You did. Because of your courage, because you overcame that fear, you got another soul's added. See, we can be evangelizers. We can go and help spread the gospel. We can also be an inviter. You invite people to maybe youth rallies, VBS, camps, Bible study. Be an inviter. When you overcome that, well, I don't know what my friend will say. I don't want to be rejected. I'll be the first to say I don't like rejection. I've had to overcome that. But be an inviter. Be an inviter. What is the saying? It's no's are free. So we need to remember that. But also we can be a servant. We can serve others. We see someone in need. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Let's help one another. Let's overcome those fears. Sometimes we will fear. We will have those things. Well, let's have knowledge. Let's know what we can do for God. Let's know what we can do for God. Now that since we've learned, how do we overcome that? Well, I need a weapon. We talked about David having his weapon, 1 Samuel 17, verse number 40, talking about him having the five stones and the sling. What's interesting is David was very accurate, I'm sure, with his sling. And it's very interesting, David using that sling. You think about in battle, how many soldiers use slings and stones to defeat their enemy? Probably not a lot. Probably not a lot, but David did, because he knew what could work. In 1 Samuel 17, I want you to notice, going back to our text, 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 and following. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them or tested them. And David put them off him. And then our text, verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a script. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. See, Saul offered something that David couldn't really use. He didn't know how to use it. He was like, I haven't tested these. And so he couldn't use it. He didn't use it. How can we make that applicable today? How many times do we want to use something of the world? Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are not carnal. We need to use the spiritual weapon. David, which represents sling, we can represent that as God's word. That's God's word. And we can represent that as our sword. And we're going to talk about that. But notice, again, the weapons of the world don't suffice. Talent, riches, fame, power, that doesn't suffice. See, again, like David, that armor wasn't going to suffice David, because that's not what he was used to. But David knew what could defeat the enemy. Do we know what can defeat our enemy? At least I hope we do. In Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to notice verses 14 through 17. You know this passage probably. But Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17 talks about the armor of God. If we're going to overcome those things, let's be back. Let's be armored. Because no soldier goes into a battle without armor or weapons. We need weapons. But let's make sure we have the right weapon. Because if we have the wrong one, we're going to lose. Or we might not accomplish what we want. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verses 14 through 17. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Always have the truth. What's the truth? God's word. John chapter 17, verse 17. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, live a righteous life. Verse 15, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only weapon of offense is what? That sword. And that's the one that we can attack our enemy with, the one that we can overcome. We need God's word. Eric talked beautifully about the beautifulness of God's word and what we can do with God's word. But notice that we need a spiritual armor, because again, we're facing spiritual battle, and that's against the things that we face, our Goliaths every day, the discouragement that comes. You can't do it. Well, God said we can. Therefore, I want to trust God. I think God knows what He's talking about. God doesn't need carnal weapons to win. Something interesting I drew out from 1 Samuel when looking at this passage. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse number 47. Notice what David says. I thought this was very interesting. God doesn't need physical weapons to accomplish His goal. Notice, now He uses them, but God doesn't need them. 1 Samuel 17 verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword. You see, God doesn't need physical things to accomplish His will. He doesn't. Now again, He uses. But again, God uses, we can use what God has given us, and that's His word. Again, David chose what was comfortable. We need the best weapon. Our weapon is the Bible. So let's use it. Let's be prepared. Let's test it. Let's use it on a daily basis. James chapter 1, verses 22 through about verse 24, 25 tells us we need to be doers of the word. I can hear God's word all day, but if I'm not going to do anything with it, it's going to do me nothing. Same thing with a weapon. I can have a weapon in my house, but what if I don't use it? It's not going to do anything for me. And so I need to use my weapon. David used his weapon. Again, it was the one that's comfortable with. Again, we stated that probably not a lot of people, he's probably the only one that had a sling in this, but it worked because he knew what it could do. How often do in the world, and sadly in our society today, do people use the Bible? No, they use this philosopher and this one and those with 10 doctorates. No, it's not wrong to have a doctorate, but use things that are of the world. I got all I need right here. So let's be courageous. Let's know who we have. We have God's Word. We have the weapon that we have that God has given us. A weapon that's not tested, it's not going to work for us. And so we need to know that. Not only did David have his weapon, and again, it wasn't perhaps a popular weapon, but it sufficed him because he knew what it could do. We know what we can do with our weapon, but also, more importantly, he had God. He trusted God. He knew that God was with him. He knew that he would overcome, not because of the physical weapon, not because of the sling, but he knew what he could do with God. 1 Samuel 17, I want you to notice verse 45. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Notice what David says. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." I've got God. I've got God. I don't need anything else. Think about that in application-wise today. We have already won. You think about that? You think we have already won the battle? You know, I think it was Brother Keith Mosier, you probably know this as well, but he said, "I've read the Revelation. I already know the outcome." Well, guess what? If we follow God, we already know we're going to win. Why? Because we have the most powerful being in the universe. The most powerful being in the universe is with us. I want you to notice Psalm chapter 27 and verse number 5. Psalm chapter 27, verse number 5. Notice what David says. He knows that God's with him. He trusts that God. And with his trust, he knows he can overcome. He knows he can do the will of God. Same thing with us. We know we have God on our side. Man's not going to do anything to me. Psalm chapter 27, verse 5. "But in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock." Verse 6. "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." David knew who was with him. You know, Romans chapter 8, the New Testament, says, verse 31, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Think about that. If we've got God, we're already going to win. Therefore, I can be confident in the things that I can do for God. Things might come at me. I might fear some things. You know, well, what if this person says this? Or, you know, what if I do this? You know, you've got God. You've already won. And so, press forward. Do as God would have you to do. Trust is very important. Trust is very important. You go back to Judges, the story of Gideon. Gideon started with thousands of people, and God said, "No, that's too much." So he put it down. God said, "No, that's too much again." So he went down to 300 men. Why? "Because you trust me, I'll win you the battle," God says. "I'll do it. It's me." See, we need to put our trust in God. Things are going to come at us. You know, we might fear things in the future. Somebody might discourage us. But guess who's always encouraging us? God's always encouraging us. Notice what Paul says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verses 16 and 17. Notice what Paul is writing, his last letter. And he's writing to Timothy. He says, verses 16 and 17, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding," notice what he says, "the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." God was with me. Therefore, I can accomplish anything. And therefore, we need to remember that. But David knew that God was with him. Do we? You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And everything you do, you better trust God. And all thy ways, trust in the Lord all thy heart, and not in thy own understanding. And all thy ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths." We trust God, everything will work out better. Maybe not. Maybe not for the physical standpoint. We know eternally, we know the eternal reward, it's going to be better. But if we trust God, things will work out. Let's ask this question: what is man going to do to us if we have God? Nothing. I want you to notice what Psalm chapter 118 says. Psalm chapter 118, and you look at verse number 6. Notice what the psalmist says. He says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me." You see, we have the advantage, but in reality, there's not really an advantage. See, with God, there's no odds, you know, 1,000 to 1, 10,000 to 1. See, God's going to win. And so that should give us courage to press forward, to know that, man, I got God with me. David had God. He knew what he could do with his weapon. He knew that he got that God was with him. So he defeated his giant. He won. He was prepared. He knew that God was with him, and he was willing to go. That's our third point. We need to be willing. Now that we're prepared, now that we know what we're doing, we're in a battle, we're facing our Goliath, we know that the discouragement's going to come, we know that Satan is going to tell us to quit. Are we going to be willing to go? We have God's word with us. We know we have God, but are we willing? I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Who shall go for us? Whom shall I send? Isaiah, metaphorically, I say, figuratively, raises his hand and says, I'm here. Here am I, send me. That should be our attitude. Here am I, send me. I'm willing to go, God. I'm willing to go, and that requires selflessness. I don't want to be prideful. I want to give myself to God. We put to a tune Galatians 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's not my life anymore. It's Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh. Still live in the flesh, and we're still human. I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, I live for Christ now. I'm selfless, but am I willing to overcome that? Oh yes, things are going to come at us. I need to be submissive. James 4 and verse number 7, therefore submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. I need to be submissive and I need to be zealous for God's word. And we need to be willing. We need to have that will. Do I desire? Do I want to overcome those things? Do I want to do God's will? Do I want to be a servant of God? I know I can. God tells me I can, but am I willing? Is that my desire? I need to be willing. I'm reminded of Genesis chapter 22 with Isaac. Now, some have different ideas on how old Isaac was, but the context is still there. To be honest, I think he's probably 25, 30, something probably around there. But I want you to notice something. Him being 25, his father was a very old man. Abraham binded Isaac. Interesting lesson we can draw from this is Isaac gave himself. 25-year-old man probably can do some damage to an old man, but he didn't. He gave himself. We need to have that same, I'm willing to give myself to God, but give myself over to God. Whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. Eric talked about talents today. We have talents. We each have different talents. Maybe we have some more than others. Maybe we can do a little bit more things, but that doesn't negate the one talent, man. See, we have talents. We need to be willing to use them for God. Think about David was willing to go because no one else would. No one else was willing to go, but David says, I'm willing. That might be us. Let's be willing to do that. David was willing to go as well because someone mistreated his God. Who is this Philistine that's defying the armies of the living God? He was willing to go because someone mistreated his God. And even the physical, even as you look at Goliath's 9 to 11 feet tall, even though that physical is different, David said, I'm willing to go because I know that God is with me. And we can do great things as young people. We're going to close with verse 50. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 50. But I can do great things. You can do great things. For one, God said. Number two, because God calls you to. And because you can be prepared. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 50. Because David was willing, because he was prepared, because he had the knowledge, because he was confident in the Lord, because he knew that who was on his side, he overcame. Look at verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. There's his weapon. What's in your hand? Sling and a stone. Again, the sling and the stone, just a sling and a stone. But with God, he can do great things. Sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. See, us as Christians, we can do great things. Us as young people, we can do great things for God if we are prepared, if we are willing to go, and if we are willing to submit to God. People may discourage us, tell us, well, you're too young, what do you know? Well, God tells me I can do great things. I trust God. And so if we do those things, be prepared, trust God, be confident. We know that we can overcome the giants and the discouragements that face us and know we can be pleasing to God because that's the main goal. I don't care what man says. God's with me. If I please God, I've done my job. We can do what God will have us to do. If we are overcome, be courageous, and do the will of God. Thank you.